Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll hear from Shane Beamer once again, who joined us on the show yesterday. Plus, what's next for Clemson after this expansion to the SEC, and why it should be the Gamecocks to invite Clemson to the SEC? Get to that coming up. We'll also run through some NFL teams later on this afternoon. I'll tell you which ones will boom in 2021, which ones will bust. We closed out last hour. I shared that story about Kelvin Benjamin. I got a kick out of this story. Out of the league for the last couple of years. Giants give him a chance. They bring him in to try to be their tight end. But they warned him back when he was first with the team, you know, a few weeks, months ago, and said, hey, we need you to lose some weight. He was at 265. They wanted him at 250. Said, okay, I'll lose 15 pounds, which a short amount of time, by the way. Now, if you're of a certain size, it's easier to lose weight. But 15 pounds, I guess they just wanted to see him move in the right direction by the time he came back here this week at the end of July. Because that's only a couple of months. I mean, I guess, you know, again, I guess you could lose, especially professional athlete, you train. I've just never done that myself, have to lose 15 pounds in a few months. It seems daunting. But he came back, and not only was he not losing weight, he was going in the opposite direction. Benjamin returned this week to the Giants heavier than when he left weeks ago. After they told him you need to lose weight. So they said, all right, that's it. And they cut him day one on the field. Benjamin talked to the media afterwards and said he was really embarrassed. They didn't have to do it that way. Right in front of like his teammates, Joe Judge cursed him out and said, get out of here. And he sent them to the locker room. And then in the locker room, I guess David Gettleman was there and said, like, yeah, we appreciate your time, but we're going to go in a different direction. And Kelvin Benjamin was very hurt by all this. His excuse was he put pounds on because it was just muscle. And muscle weighs more than fat, that's all, which is what I always say. Right? Whenever I step on the scale, I'm like, oh, I gained a few pounds. Oh, that's just from my workout. And then, you know, then I'm reminded I haven't lifted a weight in years, but I'm putting on muscle from sitting here and talking to you. That's my workout. So Benjamin gets cut, and then the rumors, and I don't buy this, but it has been reported, and not just by random people online. I think, like, even some media members follow this up, but the reports were that Benjamin was actually stealing food out of the cafeteria. Now, he's always had a bit of a weight issue. You know, he's always a big guy, both in terms of size and also teams felt like he was a little too thick. You want him to be a little quicker, right? A little faster. He's an NFL wide receiver. But the Giants gave him another chance. And, hey, Tim Tebow's made it further than Kelvin Benjamin, right? Everyone's giving Tim Tebow a hard time for trying to become a tight end. Nobody said anything about Kelvin Benjamin, and then he ate himself out of his opportunity there with the Giants. We'll see what's next for the former Panther wide receiver. And also at one time, right, he had high hopes with the Panthers for Kelvin Benjamin. Didn't quite have the career out of Florida State that they were hoping for. College football is right around the corner. As I mentioned, we'll hear from Shane Beamer coming up in a little bit and talk about what may be next for Clemson. Because college football is right around the corner. And ESPN Charleston wants to kick off the season with a good old-fashioned golf tournament. So come out and represent your college team at your foursome at Stono Ferry. Winning foursomes will score tickets to the homecoming game of their favorite college team, courtesy of ESPN Charleston 98.9. And the golf tournament is at the links at Stono Ferry on Thursday, August 19th. So it's coming up, 3 weeks from yesterday. It'll be here before you know it, so you better get online, sign up while you still can, because there's a limited number of foursomes. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com and register your foursome today. Select which team you are playing for. We've had Ohio State, West Virginia, I think NC State, I think UNC, Clemson, South Carolina. So register today for this golf tournament, the kickoff to college football golf tournament on Thursday, August 19th. Lunch will be provided. Breakfast will be provided. There'll be different contests throughout the tournament, of course. And the winning foursome, not only will you get tickets to the homecoming game of your favorite school, you can't beat that, but also you'll get some swag and you'll get a framed photo of the team stadium to hang on your wall. So pretty cool. It's the kickoff to college football golf tournament, Thursday, August 19th. The links at Stono Ferry with college football right around the corner. Plus, a portion of the proceeds will be donated to FanTalk families to benefit the Ronald McDonald House, so you can't beat that either. Go online and register today, charlestonsportsradio.com, and sign up your foursome this afternoon before the foursomes all fill up. Golf tournament's only 3 weeks away. Looking forward to that as we get ready for the college football season. We'll get to Shane Beamer in just a little bit. He joined us on the show yesterday. We'll replay that in a few moments. But you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. We do have to go to the phones because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Luke?
I'm doing well. What's up?
29 days to go. College football.
How many days? 29?
29.
All right.
28. August 28th.
Yeah, 4 weeks from tomorrow, you're telling me.
Sure.
How about
that? Today's skeezer day. I feel for those kids out there, but they're young. They could take this heat, but they better have a splash day squirt and squirt bottles full of water. So
yes,
that'll cool them down. So, but it's going to be hot. The heat index feels like 114 by 3.
You're telling me the heat index today is it's going to feel like 114 degrees
by
3 o'clock
today. By the time Bobby goes out, it's
going
to be all get out hot.
You're telling me when I'm done with this show, I'm going to walk outside, it's going to be 104. It's going to feel like it's 114 degrees.
Right. I'm excited because 29 days, you get the smaller schools go at it. Sometimes they're good games. And you got UCLA and White still going to go at it that day.
I haven't heard about this. What? Who's UC? I haven't heard. Who's UCLA playing?
Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii. Oh, that should
at
be a good
UCLA
game.
UCLA. So that would be a good game.
And when's that game?
The 28th.
Oh, August 28th. How many days away?
I wonder how many days.
3 o'clock.
29 days.
Only 29 days. Oh, my goodness.
Well, the day's the 31st. Actually, tomorrow. Let's see. We got. Today is the 30th. Tomorrow's the 31st. And August 1st is Sunday.
Yeah.
That is still ain't long now.
Yeah. It's almost August. When does August start?
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
But anyway, Mr. Luke, what I wanted to ask you was deal with the virus in Japan, because what I heard, it's really going up in numbers.
So I don't know the specific stats, but I do know that they had to enter a state of emergency at the beginning of the Olympics, so I know things aren't going quite as well over there.
Well, what was that game on the beginning last night? I tried to wait for track and field was going to be my favorite, because I've always been amazed at the guys that swing that heavy chain around and throw it, the hammerhead or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be time now for a guy to break the mile. You know, the record-setting mile.
How fast could you run a mile?
I couldn't even walk a mile, not run a mile.
You can't walk a mile.
I might could crawl a mile. That'd be it, but that might take it to the night to get through.
You've been telling me that football is only 29 days away. How many days do we have until your wrestling match with Bobby?
They don't tell. We got to raise the money first, but I've traded it. I know it's going to be wild, but I can still trade. Get that.
You've been training?
I can sit down and beat Bobby. That ain't no problem.
I heard you crawled the mile last night.
I don't know where you heard that at, but I know that's... I didn't crawl no mile last night. I wouldn't crawl no mile today. But anyway, what's the sport before? They was like so fast, I couldn't even keep up with it last night.
I think it was Quidditch. I think you were watching Quidditch last night.
Quidditch? What the hell is Quidditch?
Yeah, I think you were watching Quidditch. I think that was the sport that was going on last night.
That's a sport?
Yeah.
It didn't last long, whatever it was.
Yeah, Quidditch was on right after basketball last night.
Did the U.S. come back and win? Because they was awful close.
Yeah, they won Quidditch. They did not win the swing shot, and they finished in third in Skytrack, and then Rocketball. They did pretty well in Rocketball last night, though. So that was pretty good. I don't think they did well in Pyramid, but I do think that they won the Maze and also got gold in Powerball. Those were all events from American Gladiators, except for Quidditch. That's from Harry Potter. I think Dave was watching. Oh, and Basketball was from. Well, that was the name of the movie, right? Basketball?
Right.
Yeah, great movie.
Yeah, from Trey Parker, Matt Stone, the creators of South Park.
That's right. Oh, yes. Another I reference Seinfeld every day. Joe references South Park every day. We need a piece of production for that. But yeah, that was a good movie in the 90s.
But yesterday, I was in the WJNI studio, and where there's a television. We actually had a good volleyball match on yesterday. Our gals pulled it off against Turkey.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you, those ladies from Turkey, they were for real.
Regular volleyball or beach volleyball?
Regular.
Yeah, the regular.
But our gals pulled it off.
I do enjoy volleyball. You know, I've said before, I don't watch a ton of the Olympics. I love in the Winter Olympics, I watch now I can't even think. What's the sport in the Winter Olympics? Curling. I love curling. I will watch every curling event. Love curling. And in the Summer Olympics, I'm not a big Summer Olympics guy, but I do really like volleyball just in general. I used to actually broadcast volleyball because it was just fun to do. I didn't really know the sport, but there was an opportunity, and I said, sure, I'll do volleyball. And I did play-by-play for volleyball for a couple of years, even at the college level, and it was just fun. I just enjoy watching volleyball. I was watching some beach volleyball a couple of days ago. That may be even more enjoyable because there's only two people out there. They get all over the place. But volleyball is a fun sport. Now, I didn't watch any of that yesterday going on, but yeah, I do like watching. Volleyball is really fun, especially, you know, good volleyball. You got like the libero on the back that's always digging things out. Oh, fun sport to watch. I like volleyball.
Yeah, so like this level, the Olympics,
or
college volleyball.
Yes, these people are great, obviously.
Actually, in Europe, there are some pro leagues over there.
Interesting. Growing up, we played volleyball. We would always carry, right? We didn't follow the rules, but we used to play volleyball. I loved playing volleyball. It's just a fun sport. It's fun to watch. It's fun to play, right? You go to the beach, anybody, you get out there, you play on the beach. You don't have to be like the guys in Top Gun. Going out there and showing off. Volleyball's a fun sport. Anyways, coming up, we'll hear from Shane Beamer. He joined us on the show yesterday for a few minutes ahead of his appearance in Charleston last night. When we come back, we'll replay that conversation with the head coach of the Gamecocks. Also coming up, what's next for Clemson now with this SEC expansion? But we'll hear from Coach Beamer from the show yesterday when we return. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Oh, the night is slipping away. Them jolly. And there's still so much left to say. Them jolly.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll hear from Shane Beamer in just a few moments, replaying our conversation with him here on the show yesterday. Coming up in just a little bit here on the Morrow Midday Show. Following the trade deadline in Major League Baseball, which will expire at 4 p.m. Eastern today, so just over 2.5 hours ago, the Blue Jays just pulled off a big trade, getting Jose Berrios from the Twins starting pitcher and giving up two of their top prospects. In fact, two of the top prospects in baseball. Major League Baseball's number 19 and 68th prospect. So the Blue Jays kind of going for it. They got Brad Hand, a reliever, a closer, yesterday, and Berrios today. Their lineup, we know, is really good with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette and George Springer, if he can get going. They have a couple of good pitchers. The bullpen has been a bit of a concern, so they're trying to bolster that pitching staff. And the Blue Jays are going for it a little bit here. So I find that a little surprising. They're giving up some prospects for these guys that are a little more like a rental. And now the AL East, you see what the Yankees have done. Even the Rays have made a trio of moves. The Red Sox added Kyle Schwarber, and the Blue Jays are in fourth place in that division, 3 games over .500, 9.5 out, and they've added an all-star reliever and an all-star starter over the course of their careers. So the AL East getting even more competitive. We'll continue to track Major League Baseball's trade deadline here with 2.5 hours to go and see if the Braves do anything. Bobby, I saw, tweeted out a funny photo of a baby in like a Braves hat sleeping and said, "The Braves, you know, this is the Braves every trade deadline." But I will cut them some slack this year. I don't know. What do you expect the Braves to do this year? They are only four games out of first, but especially after what the Dodgers just did, the Padres have made a couple of moves. The Giants are really good this year. Even the Brewers are having a good season. We'll see how the Braves match up with them this weekend. But, you know, the Braves haven't been over 500 all season. So as a fan, you'd probably like for them to make a move to push themselves over that hump. But, you know, I mean, right now they have, what, the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th best record in the NL alone. I mean, maybe just cut your losses. Hope you make it to the playoffs. Win your division, make it to the playoffs. That'll be enough. And the Braves aren't doing much. So, you know, you try to just cut your losses this year, regroup for next year. Don't give up anything along the way. But we'll see if the Braves do anything in the next 2.5 hours. I think the Mets kind of have to do something. I'm a Red Sox fan. I think the Red Sox still need to do something because all the other teams in their division are improving and Boston's sitting around, even though they're in first place. But, you know, still, when you have a team that can go win the World Series, try to make that move for the finishing touches. So we'll see. The White Sox have improved this week. Certainly the Dodgers, the best teams in baseball, are being aggressive this week. Should make for an interesting final 2 months. So Shane Beamer joined us on the show yesterday, new head coach of the Gamecocks. He was in town last night for the Welcome Home Tour, final stop of the tour. They came to Charleston last night. His father, Frank Beamer, was in attendance because Frank is also in town for this weekend. They're having a Citadel football reunion this weekend. And so a lot of former greats are in town for the Citadel football reunion. So Frank Beamer is here, and he was there last night. Talking to a friend of the station, Scott Eisberg, last night at the Welcome Home event for Shane Beamer. And it was the final stop there. I know Fan Talk, they were broadcasting from out there yesterday. But Coach took a few minutes yesterday to join us on the show from the golf course. Yesterday, before the speaking engagement here in Charleston last night. And in case you missed it, we couldn't promote it because we didn't know when he was going to join us. We knew he was going to call us at some point yesterday. We didn't know when. He gave us a call. We got him on the air. We spent a few minutes with Coach Beamer. In case you missed it, we'll replay it now. But this was our conversation from yesterday with the Gamecocks head coach, Shane Beamer. New head coach of the Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, is with us. Coach, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Hope you guys are.
Yeah, appreciate the time. You've been on the job here for about 8 months now as the new head man with the Gamecocks. How have things been going so far?
It's been a lot of fun. It's been super busy, obviously, but a lot that we had to get done, and we've really attacked every single day, and been a blast. Been some bumps in the road, no doubt about it, but we got some fantastic young men in the program, fantastic people in the program, and couldn't be more excited about where we are right now, where we're going, and starting practice next week.
You guys have really hit the recruiting trail very hard this summer and have got a lot of commits here along the way. How important, or how even just promising, has it been recruiting for you guys the last couple of weeks and months?
Yeah, it's been awesome. When everything opened up on June 1st to allow prospects to visit, it was full speed, and we didn't slow down to the end of the month, but couldn't have gone better. 12 commitments since June 1st, and to be able to get take the recruiting part out of it, just to be able to get people in our building and visit with people face-to-face and not over a computer screen was awesome, to be able to do that for an entire month. But then to be able to bring them to such a special city like Columbia, let them see such a special university that we have here at Carolina, and then to see the amazing athletic facilities we have here was great. And then to be able to let them meet the people in our program, the people in our program, to visit with those people, it was an awesome month. We've got another big day Saturday coming up with a lot of recruits that'll be on campus, and we're taking advantage of every day the NCAA allows us to.
Able to catch up with you today because I know the Welcome Home Tour stops off here in Charleston tonight. What does it mean for you on a personal level to be able to reconnect here with Charleston?
Oh, it's great. You know, fantastic that we've been able to get out on the road and do this Welcome Home Tour. We were in Charlotte last night. We were in Aiken before that. We were in Columbia. So to be able to get out this week's great. But this is the last one tonight, and hopefully we save the best for last. To be able to come to Charleston, a place that I absolutely love, place where I was born, and to be down there in such a beautiful, beautiful town and around so many great Gamecocks tonight. I'm really looking forward to getting down there in a little bit.
Coach, of course, the biggest story in regards to the SEC is Oklahoma, Texas. You came from Oklahoma. What just are your thoughts if Oklahoma and Texas were to join the SEC at some point in the future? What do you think of this potential expansion?
Yeah, there's a lot to it, without a doubt. The SEC, we already have the greatest conference in the country already. And if that ends up happening, which it sounds like it is, it only got stronger. And, you know, it's not my decision to make. There's obviously a lot of people. We've got an amazing commissioner in Craig Sankey and a lot of people above me that are making those decisions. And we trust that those people are making those decisions and for what's best for the SEC and what's best for college football. But it'll be interesting. I mean, just from a competitive standpoint and all that, we'll play, you know, who they tell us to play, when they tell us to play them, and excited about making the best conference in the country even stronger. And we tell recruits all the time that this is the best league in America, and people want to play in this league. The NFL, they have a special eye on the SEC because of the amount of talent in this conference, and I think it's evident when you have two premier programs like Oklahoma and Texas wanting to join this conference. I think that speaks volumes.
Coach, before we let you go, we're short on time, but what are you looking forward to most when the season begins and you're the head coach of this Gamecock team on the sideline come September? What are you looking forward to most for this upcoming year?
Just competing. That's why we coach, is the young men that we have in our program and to be around them and interact with them. So we've got the greatest fans in the world. Cannot wait to stand in that tunnel and run out to 2001 on September 4th and just really looking forward to competing and seeing the players on our team have some fun and have some joy, because they certainly deserve it.
He's Coach Shane Beamer, new head coach of the Gamecocks. Coach, wish we had more time, but appreciate you joining us, and have fun here in the Lowcountry tonight.
You bet. Looking forward to it, and hope to be on again soon. Take care. Go Gamecocks.
Pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Coach Beamer taking some time out to join us before tonight's date on the Welcome Home Tour here, right here in Charleston. Shane Beamer yesterday on the show, our conversation with him. Certainly would have loved to have more time. There's plenty of things we could have gotten into, but appreciate him giving us a call yesterday and coming on the air. I shared it yesterday, right, to take you behind the curtain. We were just waiting for him to call at any point during the afternoon, whenever he had a moment. And the only time that we have a strict deadline is at the end of each hour, and that's just happened to be when he called, and so we only had a certain number of minutes. If he called, you know, earlier on in an hour, we could have gone as long as we wanted with him. But we had a commercial break to hit at the top of the hour. So appreciate the time from Coach, and we will reconnect with him at some point down the road as well. But what he said there in our conversation yesterday, right, and this was before Oklahoma and Texas became official. You don't want to say anything till till they actually get the votes. We all knew they were going to get the votes, but you don't want to say, like, oh, look forward to competing with them. And then, you know, who knows? It turns out they don't actually get the votes, and it's a moot point, right? So you have to wait until it becomes a little more official before you can comment on it. But he did say in our conversation yesterday, Beamer said, I tell recruits all the time, this is the best conference in football, and people want to be in this conference. So is Oklahoma and Texas joining the SEC good for the Gamecocks? That's good for their pocketbooks. Makes it harder for them to try to win or compete on the field or try to win the SEC. But it also does help in that recruiting pitch. That, look, hey, teams want to come here. Right? Oklahoma and Texas came to join our conference. Now, are we Oklahoma or Texas? No, but we are in the SEC, and there's only 16 of us, and we're one of them. And if you want to come play in the SEC, right, they may not be able to get the 5 stars because those kids will go to Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas, but you can still get a better crop of players just by being in the SEC. It's why these schools want to be in the SEC. It's why Texas A&M doesn't want Texas in the SEC, because that gives them a recruiting edge. They can say to these kids, like, hey, yeah, sure, they're Texas, but we're the only school in this state that plays in the SEC. So Oklahoma and Texas joining the conference at some point, right? It doesn't bode well for the schedule or even the on-field success, and there are more hurdles in the road of trying to win an SEC or trying to get to an SEC championship, again, if you're South Carolina. But it will help, of course, just by making more money without doing anything, and it could help to a certain degree in recruiting. It gives you another sales pitch. Like, hey, people want to be here. Right? Some of the top schools in the country, they all want to be in the SEC. The top players all come to play here. You want to play against the best, compete against the best, in the biggest stage, in the best conference. That's clearly us. And this is another reminder that is the SEC. So it could help in that sense. Coming up, now that it looks like Oklahoma and Texas are on their way to the SEC, what's next for Clemson? The Florida State president apparently is campaigning for Florida State and Clemson to be invited to the SEC. Should Clemson want that? Should the Gamecocks actually invite them themselves? Get to all that when we come back. It's the More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
I got some troubles, but they won't last. I'm gonna lay right down here in the grass, and pretty soon all my troubles will pass. 'Cause I'm in shoo shoo shoo, shoo shoo shoo, shoo 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 shoo, sugar town.
Coming up, what's next for Clemson now that Oklahoma and Texas are heading to the SEC? And why the Gamecocks should actually be the ones to personally invite Clemson to the SEC. Get to that up here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. So is this Nancy Sinatra?
Yes, it is. Yeah, she was one of the ladies we talked about yesterday as being one of the co-stars are having something to do with Elvis.
That's right. Turns out it was Ann Margaret that Super Dave was thinking of, but Nancy Sinatra was in a few films with Elvis. I've always wondered what industry has more second-generation talents, like Hollywood or the music world? Musicians or actors?
Or wrestling.
Wrestling, that's true. Plenty. Tell you what, there's a lot of broadcasters as well. Plenty of nepotism in this industry. But musicians or actors? I wonder which side has more of the second generation of a kid or a daughter of an actor, actress, or a musician that also has a career in that industry as well. Tons of them, like Nancy Sinatra. All right, so now that Texas and Oklahoma seem to be on their way to the SEC, they're still saying 2025, but they got the votes yesterday. It's going to happen at some point. The question now becomes, you know, what's next? Or maybe who's next? I told you the quotes earlier of Florida State's president, John Thrasher, who said yesterday, "I don't want Florida State to be left behind. I consider us as part of the ACC, but I also know that we have a marquee name. Clemson has a marquee name. I think there might be people coming after us. I don't know. But we have to be prepared no matter what the options are." That's what Florida State president John Thrasher said yesterday. Again, throwing that invite out there. Just like when you're trying to get an invite to someone's home, but you don't want to say, like, "Hey, can I come over this weekend?" You know, you're fishing for the invite. That's John Thrasher. And we don't want to be left behind. We have a marquee name. Might be people coming after us. I don't know. Let's have us and Clemson join the SEC next. This was Paul Feinbaum earlier this week. We played this on the show a couple of days ago, but it's worth bringing back. Feinbaum talking about Clemson in the aftermath of this Oklahoma and Texas news.
Wow, you're assured of your league, but your brand has gone down a little bit because the ACC has some real issues. I heard over the weekend the ACC was looking to expand, and one of the first schools they were talking about is West Virginia. Now, they turned their nose up at West Virginia 10 years ago, Dan, and West Virginia had to hightail it across the country. So, I mean, you'll add a few schools, but you can't compete. And I'm not saying, well, let me back up for a second. The biggest prize left out there is Notre Dame, and they're kind of half in the ACC. But, you know, if you're Notre Dame, why do you need the ACC right now? You already have the benefit of it in basketball. You collect the money there, and you play five games a year, and you have your own TV network. It doesn't make much sense right now.
That was Feinbaum on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week, and we covered that here on this show earlier this week as well, that I don't necessarily agree with him that Clemson takes a real hit from this. I mean, maybe the ACC does, right? Maybe all other conferences do because one of their competitors is getting better. The Big 12 obviously takes the biggest hit. And if you're the ACC, or maybe if you're a Clemson, right, you could feel a little left behind, like, oh, there goes Texas and Oklahoma. Now they're in the SEC with Alabama and Florida and Georgia, right? All the other big brands are there. Except a few in the Big Ten. Clemson, you're the only ones left in the ACC. If you want to count Notre Dame, they'd be another. But in terms of, like, performance on the field or actually when push comes to shove on that final day, like the judgment day, they would never be left behind. If they're making any sort of super conference, you know that they want Clemson in there. So I wouldn't feel all that bad. But, well, yes, okay, the SEC got better. In fact, I think it's a positive for Clemson in this sense that they remain in the ACC, and for their competitors, things just got tougher. So I think Clemson is just fine. I think Clemson should prefer to be in the ACC than the SEC. But if I'm the Gamecocks, I invite Clemson myself personally. I put this out there if I'm a Ray Tanner or their acting president or whoever else, even Shane Beamer. I would say publicly, right, kind of put a little bit of the pressure on Clemson, put the ball in their court. And it wouldn't be that simple. It comes down to a lot of other things, contracts and other SEC teams, and it's not just like, hey, Clemson, want to come be in the conference? And they say, yep, and then, okay, you're in the conference tomorrow. And there's as Greg Sankey said, there's checks and balances to all this. But if I'm the Gamecocks, I'm putting it out there publicly. They're like, hey, Clemson should come join this conference. Clemson should be in the SEC. We want Clemson in this conference. They should be in the SEC. Let's get them here. And then, you know, the questions will come back to Clemson and be like, hey, what do you think about going in the SEC? I'd put that pressure on them. I'd put that ball in their court. Because, as I've been talking about with Texas and Texas A&M, A&M does not want Texas in the SEC because that's the only advantage they have left. Right? The Texas is the bigger brand. They have the more of a history, the more recent national championship. They still do just as good of a job in recruiting. But Texas A&M feels like the one piece that they have remaining is that they're in the SEC and Texas is not. And now that Texas is coming to the SEC, A&M really doesn't have an advantage.
Unless A&M has something up their sleeve now.
Like what?
They might be looking to move somewhere else. They might be looking to try to get some of kickback. You know.
I think that puts them at a disadvantage, though. Right now, you leave the SEC. Now Texas is in the SEC, and you're not. You're on the outside. So I think that only makes matters worse. You might as well both be there.
In the short term.
Well, I think whatever happens, the SEC will always be. You know, I think the SEC, like Kramer's billiard room, or right, Frank Costanza, actually, that's always going to be the place to be, right, is the SEC. And that rhymes, too, so that actually works pretty well. But for South Carolina, they're like Texas A&M in this scenario to a certain degree. Except when it comes to South Carolina and Clemson, the Gamecocks, the one advantage that they believe they have really isn't much of an advantage. Right? Clemson now has all of those advantages as well. Now that they have become one of the elite programs in the country. Clemson doesn't struggle to recruit. They're not getting beat out on recruits by South Carolina. They're not struggling for attention or for national games or for ticket sales or anything else that may come with being in the SEC. Right? Clemson's getting everything else. And they're not in the SEC. They don't have to deal with that competition. So it's like the best of both worlds. They're getting everything that an SEC team would, except less money, and they're not making quite as much money. No problem. Their coaching staff's the highest paid coaching staff in the country. They just built new facilities that are ranked, you know, top five facilities in the country. So sure, they're not making as much money as they would if they were in the SEC, but they're doing just fine.
As far as football, because the ACC more than makes up for it with basketball.
Yeah, well, we're talking football. But on top of all that, not only do they get those same benefits, but they also have the much easier path to the college football playoff. And I know Clemson fans and ACC fans always get up in arms, right, whenever you try to compare the two. But, I mean, it's simply the facts. Ohio State, same idea. You have an easier path, as good as the Big Ten may be in certain seasons. You have the ACC is the best conference in football and only get tougher with an Oklahoma and a Texas. So it's like, okay, let them worry about that, right? If you're Clemson, we have all the same benefits. No, we're not making as much money, but, you know, we're recruiting just fine. We're getting national games. We're selling out, obviously, the stadium. We're still getting bids to the playoff. We're still competing for national championships, and we also have an easier path to get there. So if I'm South Carolina, I want Clemson to try to come and join because they already have all those advantages. You might as well have them also have to go through the schedule that you have to endure. Now, Clemson would handle that schedule better than the Gamecocks because they are a better program with more talent right now and a better coach. They would handle it easier. But at least, right, it'd almost be maybe it's out of pettiness, trying to take a jab at your rival. But it's like you're looking at Clemson. I mean, they have everything we already have except a little less money, and they have an easier path as well. That's not right. We at least have to make them go through this. Right? Like winners in all this, of course, the SEC's bottom line, Oklahoma and Texas wins, but also Clemson and Ohio State, because they look around and they think like, wow, the people that we're competing with, their path just got tougher. All of the teams in the SEC and the two competitors in the Big 12, their path just got tougher. They have to play a tougher schedule now than even before. Our schedule didn't change. It's like what I'm talking about with the trade deadline. You're looking around thinking like, wow, our competitors just got better. Sure, we stayed the same, but they're getting better while we're staying the same. Same idea here, except it's the opposite. You want to be staying the same. Like, oh, our schedule is staying the same. Theirs is getting tougher. Right, we'll take that. That's a win for a Clemson and an Ohio State. And if nothing else, the Gamecocks at least would have a better shot at trying to compete with Clemson at the end of the year, right, because maybe they'd be beat up a little bit running through the SEC instead of beating teams by 60 every week. I mean, there'd still be they'd still beat Vanderbilt, and you know, maybe in Arkansas, but you'd have some tougher games. And when you get to play them at the end of the year, at least, well, right, maybe we stand a little bit, at least down the road. Maybe not currently, but hopefully a few years down the road, you can compete a little more with your in-state rival. So if I'm the Gamecocks, I want Clemson in the SEC because it doesn't make much of a difference. The schedule's already tough. You already have to play them anyways. They already beat you. They beat you in recruiting, all this other stuff. So you might as well make them have to go through that schedule as well, which is maybe a little petty, but we're all guilty of that. Like, if I have to do this, you're going to do this too. Right? If I have to wake up at 6 a.m., or so to you, with your family, right? I mean, you put somebody through the same the misery that you have to go through in certain events. Like, if I have to, a lot of times pregnant wives will say that, right? If I can't eat certain things while I'm pregnant, right? Neither can you. We're doing this together. If I can't have alcohol for the next 9 months, either can you. It's like, oh, well, that's not really fair. I'm not the one that's pregnant. It's a similar idea. Like, if we have to go through this, so too do you. Get Clemson in the SEC. But if I'm Clemson, I'm saying, yeah, no thanks. Right? Like, the Florida State president, he's hoping that Florida State gets the call. The SEC should want Clemson in the SEC. But if I'm Clemson, I'm saying, no, we're good over here. We'll take the easier path, and we'll be fine. We're getting good enough recruits. We're a big enough brand. We're making money. Sure, we can make more money in the SEC, but you know, we got an easier path over here. And when it comes to the Gamecocks, I saw Andy Staples point this out on The Athletic. You know, is the path already tougher now for South Carolina with Oklahoma and Texas? Yes. Would it be even tougher if Clemson came into the conference? Of course. But as Staples wrote on The Athletic, the race to football relevancy has been going on for over a century. And with the exception of a four-year period, right, last decade with Steve Spurrier, South Carolina has gotten lapped pretty frequently. So what difference does it make? Whether you are in the ACC, an independent, or an SEC, you're not competing for national championships anyways. So you might as well have these other teams come in the conference and at least make some more money out of it and, you know, maybe in that way get some better recruits or better coaching staff or facilities and try to improve that way. Because it doesn't matter. You weren't winning the SEC already, at least not in the last couple of years. And over the history of that program, right, you weren't competing enough. So, like, well, what's the difference? And Staples grew up a Gamecock fan, but that's the point he made to South Carolina fans that are worrying about the SEC getting tougher. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, you weren't competing, so you might as well get something out of it, and that something is more money. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour two when we come back. If I'm the Gamecocks, though, I'm throwing that out there and putting the ball in the court at Clemson. Hey, we want you to come in the SEC and then see what they have to say. And then, of course, the cop-out, well, our contract, right? We can't get out of the contract, this and that, yada, yada, yada. But if I'm Clemson, I wouldn't want to be in the SEC anyways. We'll wrap up hour two next. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour two here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Brad on Twitter said Carolina should invite Clemson to the SEC. Might as well make it a conference game. Yeah, then you'd be able to play last year. You would have been able to play. And you would make sure that that game would continue regardless of whatever else may happen in college football with realignment and all sorts of this drama. Right, but Clemson is already getting the benefits that, for the most part, of an SEC team, but with the benefit of also not having to play that schedule. So, might as well have them join.
Yeah, so in other words, instead of doing it the hard way, they're doing it the smart way.
That's right. That's my philosophy. Work smarter, not harder. And, you know, that can be hard. I'm not the smartest guy, so a lot of times I have to try to work even smarter than the normal person to outsmart even them. Hey, today is National Father-in-Law Day. I was always curious about this. What do you call your in-laws? Now, some people may go the mom or dad route. It depends, I guess, right, how close you are to the in-laws. But I always think that's kind of an awkward thing. What do you call your in-laws? Yeah, do you still call them Mr. and Mrs., whatever their last name is? I mean, you're married to their kid. They're part of the family. That seems a little odd. You don't call your uncle, right, Mr. Smith. do you call them by their first names? That also could be a little uncomfortable, right? Calling your father-in-law and mother-in-law by their first name. Maybe you're not on that level. Depends how close you feel to them or maybe how long you've known them. That's the other thing, too. Right? Like, I have a problem with my same thing with the parents of my friends. You grow up as kids. When you are around the parents, you always call them Mr. and Mrs. Then as you get older, you lose the Mr. and Mrs. for a lot of people in your life because, you know, when you get older, it's kind of weird to be calling people Mr. and Mrs. Unless, again, they're the generation above you. You can still do that.
Unless you haven't seen them in a very long time, then it's just an old force of habit.
Calling them Mr. and Mrs.?
Yes.
Right. But, like, I know people, like friends of mine now that call, you know, sometimes it changes from Mr. and Mrs. You no longer call your friend's parents Mr. and Mrs. You get to a certain point where you're an adult, they're an adult, you just call them by their first name. That's still weird to me. I can't do that. I still go with the Mr. and Mrs., but at sometimes it still does feel a little odd, you know, calling them Mr. and Mrs. still at this point. So my whole thing is, I don't know, what do you call your mother-in-law and father-in-law? It's National Father-in-Law Day. Do you call them their first name? Do you call them Mr. and Mrs.? Do you call them Mom and Dad? Joe, what do you call your, because I'm not married, you're a married man, what do you call your in-laws?
By their first names.
First names? Okay. You've always done that?
Well, when we first got married, I, you know, did use the Mr. and Mrs. thing. They said, no, it's okay. You know, first name's fine.
All right. See, I think the trick really is just you wait until you get eye contact. That's what I always do. When I don't know, like, well, what should I call this person? Or I don't feel comfortable. Now, you wait till you just get eye contact, and then you talk. That's what you do. Once they look at you. And if they're not looking, you can't say anything. And then you wait. They look over your way. And now you know you have their attention, and that's when you can say something. Like, oh, how are you? Or whatever it may be. Instead of, and you don't know what to call them. You call them Mr. You call them Mrs. You call them by their first names. You call them Mom and Dad. According to, this is the whole thing. This is on dummies.com. Right? Remember all those books? Like Cooking for Dummies and all that stuff. What to call your parents-in-law. It's on dummies.com. And they say their warning is using a pronoun instead of an actual name is an absolute no-no. When a person is within earshot, don't use words like she or her. That is definitely not courteous. So when you're talking about your in-laws, you can't refer to them in their presence as she, her, he, him. You got to do something. You got to give them either their first name, Mr. or Mrs., Mom or Dad. You know, but then if your parents are still around, they're around, it's confusing, especially when you're all in the same place. Who's calling? Who's actually Mom? Who's Dad? Who are you talking about? I have no idea. It's the main reason why I have never gotten married, because I don't know what to call my in-laws. It's the only reason why, really. It's truly, certainly. That's what I tell myself. That's the only reason. It's also National Cheesecake Day, National Talk in an Elevator Day. That's the word. Don't be talking in the elevator. Especially not to strangers. Nobody wants to talk. And National Get Gnarly Day. I don't know what that entails, but that sounds interesting. Coming up, we are now 2 hours away from Major League Baseball's trade deadline. And last night we had the NBA draft. I'll give you my takeaways for each when we come back. It's the Mar Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.